Good morning. Welcome to Eagles Way. Glad that you have came out this morning on a wonderful fall weekend. Busy weekend, I'm sure, for some of you. Some of you, maybe not. But we're glad that you're here. We're glad that you've joined us online if you decided just to stay at home and you feel more comfortable with that. That's perfectly fine. And we just hope that you have a great morning worshiping with us. We'd like to welcome Will back. I know I was super happy. Super happy when I pulled up and I saw his truck coming down the road and I said, is that Will? And it was. So we're just really glad to have Will here. But let's stand and let's worship.
Thank you. hurts the world and fill me with man's empty praise, and treasures that fail will never be enough. You came along, putting me back together. Oh, there's nothing better than you.
verse 2. I see a generation rising up to take their place with selfless faith, with selfless. Over everything, who is in everything. I am thankful for an unshakable kingdom, for an unshakable faith. I want to say that again, an unshakable faith. He is a good God, a good God. And in scripture, when they called out Hosanna, it was a term of adoration and praise. But really what the Hebrew word means, Savior. Rescue me. And all we got to do is call it. Savior, who sits so high above it all, rescue me. And he's so faithful to do it. Man, he's so here and there. He's so high, but he's so here. Aren't you thankful for that? Amen.
So good to be back in the house. Oh, it's so good to be. 5 weeks. I don't know that I've had 5 weeks outside of the church walls before, but you know what? That's okay. I did watch online. You know, that second song said, as only God can. as only He can do some things. And whatever it is in your life, whatever's going on right now in your life, that there's some things that only God can do. There's some things that we have to do. He's given us some things that we're supposed to do. Right now, I'm supposed to be resting and healing, and I am. I'm resting and I'm healing, right, Jennifer? I did get graduated to crutches. I'm not in them right this second just because it's easy to roll around in here without them. But I have purposed and told Jennifer I'm not going to go too much too fast. I'm going to, even though I did get behind the wheel of my vehicle, it's so nice. But as only God can in your life. You see, I have to rest and I have to do those things, but it's only God that can bring that healing. In your life, whether it's finances, whether it's relationships, there's things that you must do, there's things that you have to do, but some things it's only what God can do. And it's that faith that Dusty was talking about that you have to continue to rest in that faith that's unshakable. Faith that He is going to fulfill and He is going to do the things that He said that He's going to do. It's His faithfulness that when we give of our time, our talents, our treasures, I have no idea if we're live or not right now. We had a power surge that happened and lights have gone out and I'm sure cameras went out. Who knows what's going on, but you know what's going on is what God is doing and moving inside. It's the Spirit of God that is here in this place.
Break them.
It's the Spirit of God that you take outside of this place each and every time that you go, that when you're encouraged, that you then go and encourage other people. I want to encourage you that as of right this second, we've had $24,500 come in for our media project offering. $27,000 is halfway. We are almost halfway. Our goal is by the end of this year to have raised the $54,000 needed to be able to replace the things that we need to be able to replace. Not just because it looks horrible on TV right now or sounds bad because it's not the equipment that we need. That is not the reason we are doing this. The reason we're doing this is because there is a good news that is shared from this very spot each and every week that needs to be shared with as many people as possible. Yeah. So when you give, when you stretch yourself, when you go outside of that, God is going to be faithful to replace and to replenish in your life the things that you really need. So I encourage you, continue to give. You know, I have been just blown away. The reality is with COVID and the shutdowns and not having services that we should be in a position probably where people were being laid off and things were happening like that, and we haven't had to do that. We are so blessed. God has been so faithful. You know, right now it's probably not the time to ask for people to give additional offerings, to give, but it's a need that is there. And God has said, if we are true and faithful to Him and the things that He has shown us to be true and faithful, that He is going to be faithful and true to us. So I am believing with you that the continued funds are going to come in, that we can replace the equipment that needs to be replaced, so the good news can be shared. I'm going to have to preach sometime soon, hopefully, because, sorry, I'm doing that with announcements and different things. If you are here in the house and you have not gotten your communion cup, it's a neat little system. It's got one layer that has the wafer on top. The next layer is your juice. We have a usher that would be happy to just throw your hand up in the air, and he'll make sure that you get that. We will be doing this at the end. If, for some reason, you can see me online, we are live. You know, this is just a representation of God's body and His blood.
Right.
And so whatever that you might have at your house, you may not have a wafer and juice, but you may have milk and cookies or whatever it may be. For that moment, it can be the representation of God, Christ's body.
Right.
And Christ's blood. You can get that ready. Thank you, Pastor, for letting me do an announcement.
All right. Quite an interesting morning so far. Lights on, lights off. Power on, power off. I think we're on now, though, right? We're online, everything cool? Huh? As far as everybody knows, huh? Well, you're here. You know, I want to reiterate what Will said. You know, this whole media thing is not for us here. You're here. It's not for us. You got to realize it's one of the greatest seed planting ventures we've ever done, because it has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with people out there. That's what it's all about. So you're not going to see a difference in here, big deal. But we, by faith, got to know that there's a lot going on out there, that we're reaching thousands of people, like Will said, with good news. The gospel still is good news. It's still, I know sometimes I hear it preached and it ain't good news. It bothers me when I hear it. It's not good news, but it is good news. This has always been good news, will always be good news. And when I get off track and not bringing the good news, I need to be put back on track. But now the good news is, this time next week, going to be some bad news for a lot of people. There is a large number of people, huge number of people, probably going to be about close to 50% of the United States people in America are going to be very upset this time next week. Well, already with what's happened this year, there's going to be some disappointing people. They're going to be very hurt because their candidate is not president. There'll be a lot of hurting people. We have to have good news for them. And the good news is, no matter what happens, God is in control. That we are part of the greatest kingdom that has ever been established in the earth. And the kingdoms of this world, in Revelation says, has become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall rule and he shall reign forever and ever. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes and trusts in him would never perish, never be disappointed, never be discouraged, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him we might be saved. Our minds, our hearts, our spirits, our soul, our body, our whole being would be embraced by him, and we will be made whole. Our hope is not in the ballot booth. Our hope is in God. In him we live and we move and we have our being. And our hope is in him. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Wow. Several weeks ago, we sent out a letter. And the introduction of the letter says this. We must. We must engage, discover, and define our part in bringing unity and healing. We must engage, discover, and define, listen, our part, your part, my part, our part in bringing healing. How many know we need healing in the world? All right, listen to this. Healing. Watch, to the world around us and within us. And I want to share with you this morning the three realms that you have a part in. You have a part in the universal Christ. that we have a little part in, but that little part's still a big part. As far as the universe goes, I have a little part. And that little part is every thought, every word that I speak out, pray out into the universe, impacts, sends vibes throughout the universe, and collectively all around the world, there are always these words, these thoughts, these attitudes being released into the universe that is affecting the universe. And I have a little part in doing that. I have a large part of the world that I live in, the realm I have impact and influence over. I have a large part into that world. I have a large part into my relationships that I have with you, my relationships I have with my family, my relationships I have with my friends, the people that I relate to on a daily basis. I have a large part of input into that. I have a huge part of influence that I have over me. Huge. Huge. I have a little part in the universe. It's still a part. I have a large part in the world in which I have influence, in the realm of which I function. I have a huge part of the input I have for Buren Goss. Huge part. We started this series of what's next. What's next after COVID? What's next after political unrest? What's next after social unrest? What's next after the election? What's next? Because something's going to be next. I mean, know that. Next is coming. It never will stop. What's next? It's coming. And I had no intention. I didn't really think that the prophet Elisha, that I would do a whole series on what's next based upon the life of a man that was existed over 5,000 years ago almost, and the lessons that I learned through him, and there's some principles that we're sharing with you on what's next. We shared with you the greater principle that I will never be the best at anything, probably, never. I'll never be the best preacher. I'll never be the best golfer, by far. I'll never be the best. Rick, could you just be quiet? That's the most reaction I've gotten out of you in all these years. I'll never be the best at daddy. I'll never be the best husband. I'll never be the best friend. But I can be better and greater than I am now. And my goal is not necessarily to be the best, but it is to be greater and better than I am right now. And you have the privilege that in the future of what's next in your life, that you can be better and greater than you are now. I read a post. I didn't finish the post this morning. I don't know who wrote it, but it was about someone turning 70 years old, and it interests me because I'll be turning 70 years old next year. I'm sorry. Didn't mean to disappoint you. I didn't know we had it. Such an old pastor. I'm sorry. But I read about half of it, and I got distracted. My ADD kicked in. But it was a great post about how to live the rest of their life. And I thought, I might have to go back and finish that post, especially now that y'all reacted the way you reacted. 2 Kings chapter 4, Elisha. 2 Kings chapter 4, 38 through 41. Elisha now returned to Gilgal, and there was a famine in the land. One day, as a group of prophets was seated before him, he said to his servant, "Put a large pot on the fire and make some stew for the rest of the group." One of the young men went out into the field, gathered herbs, came back with a pocket full of wild gourds. He shredded them, put them in the pot, without realizing It was poisonous. Some of the stew was served to the men, but after they had eaten a bite or two, they cried out, "Man of God, there's poison in this stew." So they would not eat it. That's smart. Elisha said, "Bring me some flour or some meal." He threw it into the pot and said, "Now it's all right. Go ahead and eat." And then it did not harm them. I love that miracle. Amos chapter 8, verse 11 says this. Says that there will be a famine of the word of God in the land. I don't know if you know, but I think you do know. There is a famine for the word of the living God in our land. There is a famine for truth in our land. There's never been a time in my life, I don't think there's ever been a time, I really don't, I don't think there has ever been a time when there's a greater famine for the word of the living God, for the truth of God, than there is right now. We are being deluged with negative, critical, complaining, persecuting, attacking words every single day. There is in our land poison in the pot. And if we eat it, we will be poisoned. But there is some flour. There is some meal that we can throw in it called the Word of the Living God. And when all the poison comes my way, however it comes, wherever it comes from, when that poison hits my life and I taste it and I go, there's poison in the pot, I immediately can turn to the Word of the Living God and throw the flower of his truth into it, and it will counteract. It will counteract that poison, and I will be okay. But I have to, there has never been a time in my life when we need to pray the prayer. The prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Give us this day our daily bread. Give me that your truth, Lord. Replace, counteract all the negative, all the critical, all the poisonous words that's in the earth today. Counteract it, Lord. Give me this day my daily portion of your word and truth that will counteract everything in this world that can possibly come against me. Counteract it, Lord, and take all the poison out of it. And let me be all right. Let me be whole. Lead us not into temptation. Don't let me be tempted to be pulled into this critical, unforgiving, hatred, poison that's happening. Don't let me be led into that, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. God, help us to pray that prayer every day, because you're going to need it. You're going to need it. We're going to need it. Because it's so easy to be caught up in it, that before you know it, the serpent's bit you, and the poison's in you, and before you know it, you'll bite someone else. And when you do, and you will, when I do, and I will, I must replace it with the meal and the flour of His divine truth, and counteract it, and dispel it from my life, that I can once again walk in truth and honesty. In Proverbs 23, do we have this, or do I need to get a Bible? While dining with a ruler, pay attention to what is put before you. If you're a big eater, put a knife to your throat and don't desire all the delicacies, for he might be trying to trick you. That's all I'm going to say about that verse. Psalms 141. Don't let me drift toward evil or take part in acts of wickedness. Don't let me share in the delicacies of those who do wrong. Don't let me drift into that. It needs to be your prayer too. It needs to be my prayer. Because if what happens, see, it's not like we deliberately go, I think I'm going to join in on that. We drift into that. You drift. You're there before you know it. You just, how did I get here? And you drifted into it. Moses said to Aaron, Aaron, where did this calf come from? Where did this golden God you made, where did it come from, Aaron? I don't know. They just threw it in the fire and it just came out. No, you fashioned it. You took the gold and you took the silver. You melted it down. You took your hands and you applied it to it and you began molding it and made it into this thing. You drifted into it. Before you knew it, you had another God. You drift into it. You drift away from it. Job 34, verses 1 through 4. Job is in a difficult time in his life. How many know Job? How many read Job lately? I told you, my friend Mike Thompson, years ago, before he transitioned, going through the worst time of his life, and he's reading the book of Job. I'll never forget that. I said, Mike, what are you reading Job for, dude? Read anything else but Job. You know what his answer was? I feel like Job. And if he got through it, maybe I can get through it. I thought, dang, Mike, let you preach Sunday. But his friends were coming to him, and they were telling Job all kinds of falsehoods. That's the kind of friends you want, isn't it? When you're already down and out, and you lost something. They were saying stuff like, oh, Will, if you'd been acting right, you wouldn't have them broke ankles. You must have did something wrong, Job. What'd you do wrong? Get fractured ankle? No. You don't want that friend, do you? Well, that's what they were telling Job. Telling Job, Job, you're going through what you're going through because you got a problem. You must have done something wrong. And how many of you, something's gone wrong in your life, and if you're not careful, the first thing you would do is question whether or not. Anybody ever done that but me? What did I do, Lord? What have I done to do this? And so Job is counteracting. And he says, listen to me, you wise men. Pay attention. You who have knowledge, Job said, the ear tests the words it hears, just as the mouth distinguishes between foods. So let us discern for ourselves what is right. Let us learn together what is good. Is that good? Is that good? You know, those men were, God put in you taste buds, smell, and you can smell something and know it's not right. You can taste something and know it's not right. I used to eat oysters, raw oysters. Used to love them. Don't eat them anymore. And I put one in my mouth years ago, and as soon as it hit my taste buds, I knew, this ain't right. This is not good. And I got rid of it real quick. It was not a pretty sight. Not a pretty sight at all. But I had to get that thing out of my mouth because my taste buds. God put it instinct into the animal kingdom that there's a lot of poisonous things in the woods. And if they eat it, they will die. But God put in the animal kingdoms this instinct to know to stay away from that. Don't you think it's ironic that COVID, one of the major symptoms is you lose your sense of taste? There's a COVID, spiritual COVID, that's affecting people, and they're losing their taste buds to know what's really right. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. How can we do our part? How can we do it? As I said, we've got to affect the universe with our thoughts. We got to send good vibes up. Paul said in Ephesians, he says, notice that it says he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended to our lowly world. And the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens, listen, so that he might fill himself in the universe. That he might fill himself. Christ would fill the universe with himself. How we know that we are what? The body of Christ. And the way he fills the universe is the impact that I'm having on the universe. It's small, but it's still a part. I personally believe that hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, fires are a result of we not realizing we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities of the air. And we disrupt the atmosphere with our negativity, with our criticalness, with our evil words. So don't ever think that what you said and what you say is not making a difference, because it is making a difference in the atmosphere. Have you ever walked in a room and without anybody saying a word, you knew this is not a wholesome place right now? Why? The atmosphere is reacting to what's going on in those people's lives. The atmosphere. The atmosphere is changing now. You know that song? Why is it changing? Because the people who are in it are changing it with what they're saying, what they're thinking, what they're feeling. How do we do that? You got to realize there's the universality of Christ. Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all of its wicked deeds. You put on a new nature. You've renewed us, and you've learned to know your Creator, become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter. Say it doesn't matter. In this new life, it doesn't matter. If you're a Jew, you're a Gentile, you're circumcised, you're uncircumcised, you're barbaric, you're uncivilized, you're a slave, you're free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. Jesus did more. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, did more than anyone who has ever lived to break down all the walls of humanity and said it doesn't matter if you're a Jew, you're a Gentile. Doesn't matter if you're bond free. Doesn't matter if you're circumcised or uncircumcised. All that really matters is Christ. Christ. Wow, if we could all just get back, get to that place. All that really matters is Christ. Christ. He said, I come to break down them walls. Come to break down those walls. Those walls of birth and nationality. Those walls of economic. Walls of social. Walls of color. That it doesn't matter. I want to break down every prejudice thought, every prejudice attitude, every prejudice thing that's ever in an individual, because this is a universal work and mission that I'm setting you out on. It's not about you. Christ is all that matters. There's a universality of Christ. Then there's a unity of Christ. Now I've got a large part in this, and this is the large part I have. Since God chose you to be holy people, He loves you. You must, say must. You know what the Greek word must is? You got to do it. You must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy. Tender-hearted mercy. And that word mercy is the word pity. You must pity the world. You must pity your world. You must show pity to everybody that you come in contact with. You must show pity. You must show kindness. Kindness. I can't wait about a zillion years from now. Somebody's going to run a political campaign. They just going to be nice. They just going to be nice. They just going to be kind. They're not going to criticize the other person. They're not going to say anything about them. They're just going to be nice. You say, Bjorn, you really believe that? Yeah, it's going to be a long time probably. Because I ain't seeing it right now. You must put on humility. Say must. Gentleness. Patience. Oh, well. I didn't come for this. Listen, I love this. I really don't love this. Make allowance for each other's faults. Let me break it down for you. Allow people to mess up. Right. Wow. I wish I'd known this when I was coming up. You got this now, John Henn. You can use this. Say, Mama, make allowance for me. I wish I'd have known this coming up. My dad, I said, Daddy, I know I did it, but just make allowance for me. Make allowance? What does that mean? Allow people to fail. What? Well, you're getting this, aren't you, John? Man, I've never seen you light up when I'm preaching like you're lighting up. Well, I'm glad Anna's gone too. Boy, she couldn't handle this. Anna cannot handle this word. She cannot handle this word. Some of you can't handle this word. Make allowance. Allow people to fail you. Allow people to disappoint you. Allow people to hurt you. Allow people to disappoint you. Why? Because it's gonna happen. You love your wife, Michael? She ever disappointed you? No? Oh, come on, man. Come on, Flintstone. You know better. The person who loves me more than anybody in this room, except Jesus, has disappointed me, hurt me. She's back there. The person that loves her more than anybody in this room has hurt her, disappointed her. I know you wonder, how in the world, Bjorn, could you disappoint anybody? Allow for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you. You must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which is bind us together in perfect harmony. Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. There's a universe I have a little input to. There's a world in which I'm relationally committed to people. I have a large, large responsibility to, large commitment to, large input to. This last one, he's a universal Christ. He's a Christ about unity. He's a Christ about union. The union of Paul saying, I ain't got there yet, but I want to apprehend him the way he's apprehended me. I want to apprehend Christ in me, the hope. I want to apprehend him the way he's apprehended me. Because when he apprehended me, he didn't a little bit get a hold of me. He didn't give me a little thank you. He didn't give me a little touch on the arm or the shoulder. He fully, completely embraced me. He embraced all my faults. He embraced all my pain. He embraced all my sorrow. He embraced all my weaknesses. He fully, completely embraced me. And Paul said, I want to completely, fully embrace him. Don't know whether you know it or not, but this last part about you, you've been elected. You've been voted on in heaven, and you won. You are now, you ready? A representative of the kingdom. All of heaven voted on you, Joe. You know what? Every angel voted on you and gave you the yes. They voted you into a representation, a representative of the kingdom of God. You are an ambassador. You are a senator. You are in the House of Representatives of the kingdom of the living God. And it never takes a week off. It's in session every single moment. David, every single moment of every day, the house is in session. And you and I are listening to the ruler of the universe make calls and says, I don't want you to vote on this because it ain't up for votes. It's already been established. And everything I dictate and everything I say goes. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do, whatever you say, whatever you do, whatever you say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Wow. I'm a representative that heaven voted on. And they voted me in. Not last month, not last week, not next Tuesday. Before the foundation of the world, he voted you in, John. Lynn, he voted you in before the world was ever created. He voted you in. Jennifer, he elected you. He chose you, Ron. Before you were conceived in your mother's womb, he chose you as a representative of the kingdom of the Most High God. They voted on you. The council of heaven The council of heaven got together and voted on you, Lynn. And chose you and elected you to be a part, to be a representative, an ambassador of the kingdom of God. And knew that this day, in 2020, you would be here. Not signing up, not voting, sitting here going, I'm here for you, God. You chose me. You elected me. Now, whatever you want, whatever you say, wherever you lead, I will go. What you say, I will say. What you believe, I will believe. Your constitution can never, ever be amended. Think about it. Can't be amended. How many voted on some amendments over the last few weeks? My daddy had one rule, never vote on an amendment. It wasn't right. I don't think he was right, but that was just his thing. I ain't voting on nothing needs amending anymore, he said. He said, we didn't got enough amendments. Well, you can amend a lot of things in this world, but you can't amend something else. You can't amend the kingdom. There's no amendments coming up. It's settled. It is settled in heaven. It's settled, it's settled, it's settled, it's settled. There will be no amendments to the constitution of the kingdom of God. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for your name's sake. Blessed are those. Blessed are those. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. Blessed, blessed, blessed. This amendment will never, ever be amended. This constitution will never be changed. It has stood the test of time, and a zillion years from now, it will still be constitution of the kingdom of the living God. And I'm a representative of that. Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad? Everybody stand but Will. Get your communion ready. This will never be amended, never be changed. With this meal, with this flower, with this thought, I'm bringing a new covenant. I'm bringing a new covenant. It's not like the old covenant. Old covenant, you had to do this to benefit from it. Y'all with me? It's not like the old covenant. The old covenant, you had to do this. And if you did all that, you was accepted. So I got a new covenant. You don't have, boy, you're just going to be so free when you leave here. This new covenant, you don't have to do anything right. And you're right. You don't have to do anything, and you're accepted, you're loved, because this is the new covenant in my blood. And now, if you're going to be part of this covenant, you're going to have to lay down your life for everybody. Well, wait a minute, Pastor. I'm going to have to die? Not like you think, but the life that he says you got to lay down. It's what you think, what you feel, and what you want for other people. Oh. Whoa, man, what would a home be like if just one of you, come on, help me preach, Jenny. Jeff was over there. Oh, don't say that, dear. No, what if one of us, what if Buren decided from this moment on, Barbara is always right. And I laid down what I thought, what I feel, and what I want. What a paradise I would live in. I would never be disappointed. I would never be discouraged. I would never be hurt. I would never give a reason to be discouraged or to be hurt because I don't have any say-so. I don't have a life. I've laid it down. Wow. What I think, what I feel, and what I want. Therefore, you got to do this. As often as you do it, Jesus said, whether it's every week like the Catholics do, the Episcopalians do, or it's once a month the way, how often as you do it, when you take this bread, you break it. My body I'm breaking for you. We got to break for other people. Hurts, doesn't it? Hurts a little bit. What about you? That hurts me a little bit. I'm remembering right now what he's done for me. But I'm remembering what I got to do now. Hurts a little bit. I'm like everybody else. I want it my way. I'm a Burger King fanatic. I want it my way. But I can't have it my way, Ron. Not and be happy. I got to have it your way. This new covenant now is in my blood. And I love you so much. I'm going to do something that nobody else in the whole universe can do for you. I'm going to die for you, literally. Not just what I think and what I feel and what I want, because I don't want to go to the cross. So I'm not just, I'm giving up my will. I'm breaking my will for you. He proved it in the Garden of Gethsemane. He did not want to go to the cross. Then he had to cry out, not my will, but yours be done, Lord. I'll do it. But it hurts. And he said, I'm going to do something right now for you that nobody in the universe can do for anybody, for everybody but me. And that's die for you. Literally, physically, die for you. If someone was coming after you with a gun, and I jumped in front of you, and took the bullet, I would have given my supreme sacrifice and love for you. But I would only have done it for you. It wouldn't have been for Dusty. It wouldn't have been for John. It wouldn't have been for Barbara. It wouldn't have been for Will or Jennifer. It would have just been for you. I can die for one person. I can. I could give my life literally for one person. I could pay that debt. But Jesus paid it for the entire universe. That's why this is so rich and this is so powerful, because he did it for everybody. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Can we just do that for a moment? Would you just thank the Lord for what he's done for you? Can we as a body, and you as a body that's out there, I'll leave you with this. You have a little part to do with the universe. You have a large part to do with the world in which you live. But you have a huge part to do with you right now. Huge. Father, I bless every person here. Every person watching online, we bless them. May your face shine upon them. May they receive today everything they need to understand and to recognize who they are and to leave this service, this moment, with the understanding that I am chosen to be a representative of the kingdom of the Most High God. Amen. God bless.